Welcome back to the program. 4 years ago, Meg Wade Clayton wrote about five remarkable women and their unbreakable bond of friendship in The Wednesday Sisters. The book struck a powerful chord and would go on to become an international bestseller. Now she returns with a story about the daughters of these women, the Wednesday daughters. For the daughters, the issues are different, but the bonds that they share are just as powerful. In addition to the Wednesday Sisters, Meg Wade Clayton is the author of The Language of Light, which was a finalist for the Bellwether Prize. Her stories and essays have appeared in numerous publications and literary magazines. She's a graduate of the University of Michigan Law School, and it is my pleasure to welcome Meg Wade Clayton back to this program to talk about The Wednesday Daughters. Meg, thanks so much for joining us.
Jeff, thanks so much for having me. It's delightful to be chatting with you again.
Great to have you here. Talk a little bit about what inspired you to write this essentially sequel to The Wednesday Sisters. It wasn't something that you originally intended to do at all. You thought you had closed it up when you finished The Wednesday Sisters.
That's exactly right, Jeff. When I finished The Wednesday Sisters, that novel, it's about five women who meet in a park in the Bay Area, watching their children. They first get to know each other talking about books, and then they form a writing group. And it takes place in the 1960s and 70s, but at the end of the novel, there is a epilogue that brings the women's lives back down to the present, and I thought I was done with them. And then two things happened. One, the reader response I got from that book was just truly delightful, and many, many readers asked if I would be doing a sequel or asked me to do a sequel. And I had to write these emails saying, oh, no plans for a sequel, and I always felt kind of bad about that. And then a very dear friend of mine, somebody who's very close to me, who is in a mixed-race marriage and has, as a result, biracial children, was talking to me about having just gone to visit his new nephew, who is also a mixed-race child of the same race, Asian and Caucasian, that his kids are. And he said to me after that weekend, it was really nice for my children to see somebody who looks like them. Mm-hmm. And I've known those kids since they were born, and it never occurred to me that when they look around a classroom, they don't see anybody who looks like them. And mixed-race kids are obviously more common in California and in the Bay Area in particular.
Right.
So I think it's not as unusual here, but I started doing some poking around about that, and I learned a couple of things. One of the things I learned was that in the 2000 census, that was the first time that on the census you could check more than one box. Before that, you always had to choose to be either Asian or Caucasian or either Latino and Asian or whatever your mix was. And the other thing was that even then in 2000, only 2.4% of Americans identified as mixed race. And at the end of the Wednesday Sisters, there is a child who is born of mixed race to a mixed couple, and she's born in the 1970s. And I thought how extraordinary her experience must have been to grow up mixed race when very, very few children were. And so I thought that would be interesting to explore. And that is basically where the novel began, with her story.
And certainly the fact that we have a mixed-race president of the United States doesn't hurt the conversation either.
No, it doesn't, although my understanding, and I have not actually seen the census form, is that President Obama, when filling out the 2000 census, identified as black.
Right.
And I think that happens a lot and has happened a lot, that because you have been slotted as one thing or another, you end up thinking of that as your identity. And so one of the things I'm interested in doing in this book and in all my books is raising issues, and this is the issue. This is one of the issues I want to explore. It's one of many. I'm always exploring the way women are making their way in the world and being seen. And so for me, the narrator, Hope, who is the mixed-race person,
right,
is also struggles with gender issues, and so those get explored as well. But I think that the more we talk about these things, the more we change the way we see people for the better. So we see people for who they are as opposed to their gender or their sexual orientation or their race. And we end up with a better world that way.
The other thing that is so powerful is the degree of change that takes place, that these daughters are one generation removed from the sisters that you had previously written about, and yet the world for them is so remarkably different in terms of some of the issues that they face and the way they have to go about challenging them.
That is exactly right. And I will tell you, the difference between the two books, The Wednesday Sisters is really my mother's generation, and The Wednesday Daughters is really my generation. And before I started writing The Wednesday Sisters, I knew that my mother's experience was very different than mine, but I didn't really focus on how much that means in every moment that you live, really. My mother is a very, very smart woman who grew up in relatively poor circumstances in Texas. She graduated from high school when she was 16, and she didn't have the money to go to college. Many, many colleges would not have taken her had she been able to go to college. So she went to the Pentagon and quickly rose to be the head of the typing pool at the Pentagon, and that was as far as her career could go. I, on the other hand, was born in 1959, and I came of age just after the second wave of the women's movement. And the difference was that I could apply to almost every major college. I think Columbia still didn't take women when I was applying to college, but most colleges did. And when it came time to do something after college, I could apply to law school. And I wasn't the only woman in my law school class. If we were a minority, we were a substantial minority by then. And it amazes me looking back at women who paved the way for me, and I really think that they did pave the way, how different their lives were just a generation before me.
Talk about the degree of influence that these mothers had on their daughters. And in many cases, the mothers who were the most powerful weren't always the ones that had the most influence, that sometimes the influence could be much more subtle.
That's exactly right. There are five women in the Wednesday Sisters, and in many ways, the quietest one is Allie, who is one of the characters whose story is explored further in the Wednesday Daughters. In the Wednesday Sisters, she is somebody who struggles with fertility issues and is very, in many ways, the least remarkable character in that novel. But her influence on all the daughters continues on in a way that some of the other characters didn't necessarily influence the daughters as much. I think that we are supported by people who we know care for us deeply, and Allie is a woman who cares deeply, and as a result, all the young women in her environment feel that and feel supported by her.
Much of the activity of this story takes place in England in the Lake District. Talk a little bit about that, because it is a remarkably beautiful place.
I will tell you that the way this setting started was I meant to set the book in Italy, and I proposed that to my editor at Random House. And we talked about why Italy, and my very fine answer, I thought, was that I wanted to go to Italy for 6 weeks.
That's a good answer.
And she was less interested in having a book set in Italy on the theory that American writers prefer books set in America. So I went about trying to find a way that I could spend some time someplace I wanted to go in the world and have it be the setting for my novel and have my editor like that. I knew she was a Beatrix Potter fan, and Allie, who is one of the narrators through journal entries in The Wednesday Daughters, in The Wednesday Sisters, wrote children's books. So, and I thought, well, you know, Beatrix Potter lived in the English Lake District. The English Lake District is a place I would like to go, and I know my editor likes Beatrix Potter. So I called her up and said, oh, I'm thinking of a Beatrix Potter angle to the book. And she's like, oh, I love Beatrix Potter. I said, But then, of course, it would have to be set at least in part in the English Lakes, because that's where Beatrix Potter lived.
Right.
And her response was, this little pause, and then, England is kind of like a suburb of the United States anyway.
Ouch.
And so that's how I got to set it in the English Lakes. I had never been there before I started writing the novel. I quickly, made my reservations and reserved a little cottage on the shores of Windermere, just over the hill from where Beatrix Potter lived, and spent a number of weeks there with my husband. It is absolutely stunning. It is a world of lakes and waterfalls and mountains that, let's just say, the Rockies would laugh at the English Lake Mountains being called mountains, but they are the highest peaks in England, and they are riddled with walking paths and people wandering around just enjoying the environment. And it's incredibly peaceful and lovely, and I think it's a world of many writers and many artists, and it doesn't take you more than about 15 minutes of spending time there to understand why, because it's a very inspiring place.
It has a kind of magical aura about it that's very hard to define. It's different than so many other places in England or anywhere else for that matter in terms of that sense that one has there.
It's really true, and I have done a lot of thinking about why that is, because it really is just magical. And if you look at any particular little bit of it, it's hard to put all those pieces together and say, oh yeah, this is a really magical environment. But it is just somehow or another steeped in a richness that is rare, and I've traveled quite a bit now,
mm-hmm.
and I have not visited any place like it.
Talk a little bit about Hope, who is at the center of this story, the mixed-race child that you were talking about earlier, and what she begins to discover there about her mother.
Hope is basically traveling with two of her friends to the English Lake District. She's coming to a small cottage that her mother has used as a writing cottage in the later years of her life. Her mother has been going there to research a Beatrix Potter biography, and yet Hope knows very little about exactly what her mother has been doing there. So she goes to the cottage with her friends Julie and Anna Page, who are two other daughters of the Wednesday sisters of the novel. Among other things, they come to help Hope sort through her mother's personal effects. And what they find there, the first thing they find there is tucked away in a hidden drawer, a stack of Allie's old notebooks. And the extraordinary thing about these notebooks is that they're written in code. And so some of the novel is spent trying to decipher the writings to understand why they have been written in code and to figure out their connection to Allie's Potter manuscript. In the process of exploring their mother, Allie's life, Hope's mother's life, all three of the women confront their own challenges. Hope is in a marriage that she's having doubts about. Julie has just lost her twin sister to breast cancer and is struggling with a number of things that fall out from that. And Anna Page, who is the readers of the Wednesday sisters will remember that Anna Page's mother, Kath, is the one with the misbehaving husband. And Anna Page, as a result of her parents' relationship, has a great fear of commitment, and she's struggling with that. So they come to England, take them out of their element, and they end up learning about their past and figuring out what their futures will be and very much who they are.
Talk about what the experience was like for you going back and spending more time with these people, these families, these characters.
That was an entire delight. It really surprised me how truly delightful it was. I had really enjoyed writing the Wednesday sisters, so it didn't surprise me too much that I enjoyed going back to visit them. But what really astonished me was how much the daughters were already shaped in that novel, even though they're fairly small characters in that novel. I thought, well, this will be three new women, and I'll be able to do exactly what I want in The Wednesday Daughters, because they had very small roles in that book, and their lives are open books. But then when I went back and read The Wednesday Sisters again in preparation for writing this, I realized that that those three characters in particular are already very, very formed in that book. So Anna Page, at the age of 8, which is what she is in The Wednesday Sisters, was a very rambunctious, stubborn, headstrong girl who is, of course, going to become a very rambunctious, headstrong young woman, and then she's actually in her 50s by the time the novel opens, so she carries that forward. And it was quite fun. It was, I'm not going to say I'm not going to do it again, because it's a world that I know and love and was a delight to revisit.
Meg Wade Clayton, the book is The Wednesday Daughters. Meg, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Jeff, thank you so much for sharing your show with me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. We'll take a break. I'll be right back.